Here comes Chazarri, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chazarri flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazarri goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. Happy America's birthday today. It's the Rye Show here on a Thursday. The Pagmeter, Matty J. Matt, happy America's birthday.
Happy 4th to you, my friend. Happy 4th to all those out there listening on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. This is The Rise. We enjoy bringing you the best in local sports and all the action around America.
And this isn't the best of the best like all the other shows. We are live. We don't take days off. This is Fashion Furniture. If they're not taking a day off, Matty J., we're not taking a day off.
And what a great level of energy and excitement going around here at Fashion Furniture. All types of great closeout sales, all types of deals going on the greatest showroom on the planet.
No question about it. They have the 4th of July special. Come on over here before tonight when you're going to go out and do the fireworks. But this is where it all happens. And they got, I'm telling you, right, Matt, this place is jamming today.
Absolutely. And I want to thank the great employees who have worked here for so many years and have taken care of you and I. And they've got a nice little spread of food out there in the employees lounge. Wow, everything from pies to hot dogs to casseroles to this beautiful potato salad that I'm enjoying right now.
Yeah, you know, you walk around these great salespeople and you wonder, they're so nice, there's something wrong. They're too nice. But you know what? They're just nice.
It's family. It's family of furniture, family of furniture stores, and family of employees. They're all together in this, all for one.
All for one, one for all. Let's get our Latin National stories out of the way.
There's lots of national stories.
It looks like Kaepernick is back at it again, but here's my theory on this. This is the greatest marketing move on one of the biggest
companies
in the world, because I can't imagine having a potential terrorist working and letting him out, being out, letting that guy unleash in the world. I think they're getting free advertisement. People are talking about it. And it is what it is, but come on, people, don't. They did it on the 4th of July, on America's birthday, and they throw this out with Kaepernick. Kaepernick, come on, guys. He's from Turlock. Where's he from?
Turlock.
Turlock has disowned him. What does that tell you?
Well, the craziest thing of all this, regardless of where you stand on this issue, that's not my job. How about this concept, though, from an old business owner myself? You mean to tell me in your mega billion-dollar industry, you didn't have any marketing people that beyond Kaepernick to put a stop to this kind of thing? It took Colin Kaepernick, really? So Colin Kaepernick made the call and said, hey, guys, I think it's a bad idea. You don't think they covered that? If you don't believe that's not a marketing ploy, you're out of your mind.
It took a call from
one of your representatives who's an athlete who's under contract to represent your shoe company. He had to call the corporate bigwigs and say, I don't know about bad idea on this shoe. I kind of like this shoe. I thought the shoe was a cool-looking had a cool look to it. I don't really sway one way or the other. To me, though, Nike actually let out the cat out of the bag that it took one of their entertainment athletes to make a call to stop something. What role does Kaepernick actually have in that Nike agency?
He's a wannabe.
I don't understand.
He's a has-been. He needs to go away, take his extremist girlfriend, and move into the mountains. So we can go, you know, we'll go hunt for him something. He's done, and you're right. This is a marketing scheme on Nike to get some free advertising, and we're talking about it. This is what we're doing.
That's a great move. Let me tell you, when you know you're a powerful company, though, when you're willing to do risky moves like that, and you're not so concerned about the bottom line, obviously, because when you have the guts to go ahead and make a move like that, it's definitely eye-opening how powerful that company must be to make blunder after blunder but actually probably they're not that stupid. They're thinking back in their little offices, like, this was what we wanted to do in the first place. It's working. And I don't know how that works, because when you have entire states saying, you know, we're going to go ahead and not going to give you those tax incentives to bring your business to our community, we don't want those warehouse jobs. We're going to give away jobs because we're not going to give you the deal we want because you've upset us that much. And for Nike to think that that wasn't going to happen, they must have an ulterior motive, and I have to believe they know what they're doing.
They exactly know what they're doing, and all the dummies out there are falling for it. And they're
stirred the number one dummy up in talk radio in our valley, the pag meter. They stirred you up enough to talk about
and
it.
And I think that's the other thing. I think the pag meter has gone soft, and I think those days are over. Coming this summer, pag meter's back to hot fudge. And I'm talking Twitter, and if you like me, great. If you don't like me, great. Let's banter. I think we're getting back into it. I got soft on you. I'm sorry out there in Valley Land. No one else is like you and I, or even the Zone Show on Friday. Everyone else just reports the news, reports the sports, reports the scores, and it's boring. We need to get back into it and say, what did Nick and Matt just say? Did you hear what those guys just said? For example, the NBA offseason right now is more exciting than any NBA regular season game played in 82 games. Right now, more people are talking about, is Kawhi Leonard going to be a Laker, Clipper? Is he going to stay with Toronto? What's, KD sign? It's more excitement right now than the regular season. I've been saying it for 5 years.
Yeah, you might be right on that. There's certainly some movement going on that's going to either the haves and the have-nots. You're either going to go get in on this little circus and participate in a run, or you're going to sit back and say, well, okay, we're done. I.e., what did you say, Bobby, the Phoenix Suns? They're one of those that are they're doomed. Who else out there in that world, though? Who would you think? Memphis, the Grizzlies are doomed. They have no chance. But Portland, I like what they've done. I like the movement now. It's no longer just one guy, LeBron, running the whole gamut of making the super teams. Everyone's getting involved. So you're seeing players from all over, the elite players, take on opportunities. KD, Kyrie, going to Brooklyn, that's really, as you like to say, that's what you're going with? You're going to be a Brooklyn Net.
This is how bad the Knicks are.
That's how bad the Knicks are. Yeah. There you go.
They have the greatest story. Madison Square Garden is better than ever. The biggest show on earth, and nobody wants to play there.
Yeah,
what does that tell you?
Yeah. Well, that is probably, if you haven't already started listening, start listening. That probably is the number one talking point in sports radio right now, is how in the world could the New York Knicks exist in that number one marketplace in the world and continually be mediocre? How much longer is this going to take?
Simply management. They don't want to play there. It's very simple.
Yeah.
The other thing, you'll find out if I'm right or wrong. I have a feeling that nobody wants to play with LeBron, and if Kawhi Leonard doesn't become a Laker, example noted. Now, if Kawhi Leonard plays, the Lakers are immediately a heavy favorite. I mean, well over the Warriors, right? If he doesn't show up and become a Laker, I'm going to tell you now, the dominance of LeBron, his mouth, his ego, people don't want to put up with it for all the whole entire season, because I don't think you can win anymore with one dominant player. You can't be, okay, 40 seconds to go, give me the ball, it's my time. Those days are over if you're going to win it all.
I think we've
got to be like the Warriors, where anybody can win it.
Yeah, I think we've established that. I mean, first, the comment about we're going to know if Kawhi does not sign with the Lakers, no one wants to play with LeBron. Are you out of your freaking mind?
We'll find out.
I think you've lost your mind. I really do.
Remember what happens when
you start
saying
I don't use the
freaking.
Word freaking anymore. Yeah. It turns into another word.
Exactly.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah.
That's not
for you. We'll find out.
And the thing that gets people riled up about you is you'll throw a statement out there like that, and it's not I believe that there's a lot of people that don't want to play with LeBron. No, you just make a statement. That'll prove to everyone that no one wants to play with LeBron. Like,
well,
somehow you're in the locker room, you understand what's happening. Like, you're there.
Let's find out then. We'll see.
We will see.
Yeah.
If Kawhi does not sign with the Lakers, I don't think that's any kind of indictment on LeBron. I think that has probably to do with $166 to $188 million in a four-year contract. Might have something to do with it. You notice how the Lakers haven't been very active after their acquisition of AD that they're really looking at much else because they're trying to clear enough room to have a Kawhi Leonard contract involved in these two other best players in the NBA. And by the way, that's what they have right now. The two best players in the NBA all reside now with the Los Angeles Lakers. If they go out and get Kawhi, that's the three best players in the NBA. If they can't win a title there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Turn in the keys.
That's what I'm talking about.
Of course you are. Does it take three? Can you get it done with two? Or do you need to have a Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson show?
And how about the Warriors?
Because well, they won a few before
Are they done or not? Are they still around?
They're not done by any stretch. But the writing's on the wall. It took a while. I think with the injury to KD, that obviously took away another world championship. But that idea that they're going to go out and roll through the division now, the West is where it's at. They're going to be fine, but there's no longer a guaranteed. I mean, I think leading into this year's tournament, I think in the NBA, I think everybody, 90% of us all felt like it's a Warriors walk away, and we didn't forecast all the injuries that would happen. But now that's no longer going to be the talk. The Lakers are relevant. The Portland Trail Blazers are relevant. And, of course, Golden State's not going to just go quietly away in the night. We've got ourselves a real competition.
And Brooklyn is taking a big chance because you know KD's not going to play pretty much this year because his leg is kind of like an Ethiopian marathon runner. So that's going to take a while to rehab. So he's probably not going to play this year. Yeah. Little skinny legs.
Skinny legs, is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Couldn't we have just said a skinny leg? He's got a skinny calves. He's got little ankles, small, tiny ankles.
For a 7'1" kid, yeah.
He's not 7'1". Every time you talk, it gets taller and taller.
What is he?
He's probably 6'11", 6'10 and a half. Oh, we can call him 7 foot.
He's this far off.
You're that classic guy that anybody that walks away large, I've noticed that about you. Every time you see a young high school kid walk, have you seen him, Coach Johnson? He's 6'9", about three, and he's 6'4". And you call a guy 6'8".
I did see a guy in Memphis. He was literally 8 feet tall at a Mexican restaurant. I looked up. I go, are you 8 feet? He goes, I'm 7'9". Did you play basketball? Of course. No. What? Who's your PE coach at school? He didn't ask me to play.
Anyone that gets over the height at about 7'3" or 7'4", you start wondering, you can't be an athlete at that size. Truly.
Why?
There's been, what, 1, 2, 7'7"? You've had a
Manute Bol.
You had a Mark Eaton was about 7'4".
Manute was, what, 9'4"?
But that is.
What was he?
Manute?
Yeah.
7'6".
8'11"?
Sean Bradley, 7'6". Yao Ming, what was he, 7'4", 7'5"?
I love that.
That's very, very rare. Typically, when you get over that threshold, about 7'4", 7'6", you're basically a coat hanger with fingers. With no legs, waddling up and down the court. Because your back, your joints, you're not equipped to move at that size.
Yeah. So last night, of course, 3rd of July, took the family. Nick Folio, my daughter Alexa, have a house in Kerman. And I had no idea. They said, hey, you got to come out and watch the big fireworks at the Kerman High School. I go, okay, I have no idea what I'm getting into. As you're driving the 180 to Kerman, you Kermanites, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It was packed. Everyone had a block party. When I say everybody, from 180 as you pull into the stadium, it was the greatest small town effect I've ever seen in my life. We had a ball. Everybody in the neighborhood had a party going. It was a great time at Kerman. So, Kerman, great job last night.
Well, that's what makes Kerman such a great town and such a great athletic community for supporting not just their high school but all the sports. It's one voice, one town, one community, one team. There is still hope in this country of America, specifically the state of California, because there's Kermans out there in the world. How much longer those type of communities will exist in this state, we'll see. But for right now, Kerman is holding up, and I believe the lifeblood of this great state of California. If you don't throw any more Kermans out there, we are doomed.
And the other one I want to ask you, Matt, and this is a tough one for me, but what has happened to the Miss California pageant? I got to ask you, is it Miss California? Are we doing like Miss Harris Ranch beef? Are we doing Miss Pork and Belly? What are we doing? Because my wife is involved here. One of her friends got in the top 12. She's from Orange County or whatever it is. She was invited because she's a dancer, and she helped him put on a dance deal. So we had to watch it. It was on TV on, I believe, Saturday night. And I'm looking at the final 12 of these Miss California, and I hate to be superficial. There was one girl, literally, she would be the starting defensive tackle for the Madera South Stallions. She had to weigh 220. Okay? And she fell on her face.
Stop.
And my wife, Lori, said they didn't show her on film. She literally, she was trying to do a dance. She fell on her face, and they blocked it out. But I had to laugh at Mayor Brand, who, I mean, it was downtown Fresno, and he's walking around with last year's Miss California, showing him downtown. As I got a ticket last week for parking in a meter, I had 1 minute left, and I had to pay $33 this week. I'm still a little bitter. And he's showing, well, this is Cal downtown Fresno, and so much excitement going on. And everything's boarded up the right of him. And I'm thinking, couldn't you go in another street where there's some people and not homeless people sitting right by your feet? You have to step over.
Yeah, that was bad optics.
That was bad.
Obviously, there wasn't a consultant involved to really get the right shot, because I saw the same shot you're talking about, because I couldn't help myself.
I texted you.
You got to turn this on. You got to be watching this deal. And I fully realized during the pageant, as they whittled it down to the top 12, as I surveyed the group of contestants from all over the state of California, it dawned on me that this is it. This is where we've all arrived at now in this world we live in, whether we like it or not. Whatever side you decide to pick or choose on this kind of topic, it's no longer the Miss California that maybe we grew up with as kids. We haven't had a Miss America come from California, by the way, since 1983. If that tells you anything, when you think of Beach Boys, Wish They All Could Be California Girls, the song California Girls, those days are over. They're still out there, but they're not competing in this event. This thing has turned into a basically sideshow. When you go on for your talent segment and you're in Miss California pageant and you couldn't get through the first round of America's Got Talent before Simon probably would have either, he would have hit the X button from you. That's when you know that the state is going downhill in the world of pageantry. 1983, we have six Miss Americas from the state of California in the history of this pageant. We haven't had a representative since 1983. That goes to tell you what's going on.
Unless you can sing like Lady Gaga and you weigh 220, if you can't, I don't know how you make it in the top 12. I just don't understand. I'm looking.
You are being superficial.
I really am. But that's kind of like
the reference to athletics in the world of sports. What have we become? You literally, if everyone has to play at the highest competition, let's just say in the world of high school football, that it was mandatory rules, as obviously it is in the Miss California pageant. Mandatory rules is we accept everyone, which is fair. That's their business. But if that was the case in sports, we would have to not only accept everyone, but everyone would have to play. So that means that the worst player on your team would have to get equal minutes with your best player. That's pretty much what seems to be going on. The correctness in this world, politically speaking, is so onto the other way of thinking the way it used to be, that anyone can be accepted into the Miss California pageant. As long as you meet probably a certain criteria, which is show up on time, fill out the right forms, be a part of the pageantry as a youth, you're in. There is no more swimsuit contest, that's for sure.
Are you talking if you could be a boy and be a Miss California?
There are boys, transgenders now in the pageant. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, in the youth pageantry, there is come one, come all.
So you're saying if we dress up Bobby, we can get him in the Miss California pageant?
Bobby's about probably – he's close. He's in good shape right now. He's right there.
But what talent does he have we could throw him in there with?
Free throw shooting.
Well, not at Clovis.
You set up a portable hoop up there on the stage at the Soroyan and let Bobby shoot free throws.
Not the year when Clovis West lost to Clovis East in the Valley Championship at Cellin Arena. But I remember that one. He had the big chance, 1-1 at the free throw line, and Bobby missed both. Or Ben missed the first, and Clovis West lost by one. And he's turning red right now. Look at him. Hands over the face. That's a sign we've lost control of this show.
Yeah, that's a reminder that you know, little information you might have want to leave at home, okay? Mr. Funny Guy.
We have a new pag meter.
The new Pag
We're
meter.
Turning into entertainment comedy.
I thought the Pag meter. I thought the hardcore Pag meter came out September 1.
Well, just getting a little tease.
You get a little
but,
tease.
But I just had this because my wife was really involved with this.
She used to be. She's pageant. Your wife does all of that kind of stuff from dance and all that. What was her take on the idea?
She said the same thing. California's changed. This is the new world we live in. And if you have a great talent, which the one didn't, which I don't understand, they're trying to be more politically correct now. The days of the, you know, the I don't know, Los Angeles Ram blonde cheerleader, those days are over. You got to have a super talent to get in there.
Yeah, well, you know, you can run commercials all you want for all the water parks and present it in a certain light, but when you actually go to the water park, that's not what I saw in the commercial, if you get what I'm saying.
So
you
can, what you're saying.
You can pretty much guarantee you can wrap up the 4th of July special here on The Rise and pretty much get ready to pull the plug on this show because we've gone so far away for what we should be doing right now. I need you to get recentered after the break.
You got a
commercial break to think about it and recalibrate your thinking on what you
want
to do.
This is what we're doing today. We want your 844-940 ESPN is our number. We're going to talk about the end of the year, great teams, great players of high school, because it's not January for high school sports season. At the end of the year is at the end of May.
That's right.
We start in August. We go to May.
It's time we pay tribute to last year's or last seasons of sport, the best teams, the best individual performances. We're going to do that when we come back. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. It's the 4th of July special. Happy birthday, America. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to America, who we love so much. And we'll have fireworks tonight outside. And be careful and don't blow any fingers off. And enjoy the family and the hot dogs. Happy America from The Rice Show and Fashion Furniture.
Yeah, and to all the dog lovers out there, people with pets and animals, do what you have to do every year. Because I don't know how it is in your neighborhood, Nick, but 4th of July usually starts for me on about June 20-something. They're already test-firing off their M80s and everything in my neighborhood. It's really annoying.
Really is, but yeah, I would say put the dogs in the house and turn up the TV as loud as possible. That way they can't hear.
Well, what I do is I let the dogs out in the back, and I lock them out, and they have to live through it. I'm thinking the shock therapy, they'll get used to it. But my lab, who I'm thinking is a hunting dog, I don't use him as that, but that's what he essentially is. He's a tool for hunters. He still hasn't got – he's gotten better, but the pit bull, she turns into just a raving lunatic
that's
when
the
fireworks go off.
That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. Put him out in the back and lock the door.
They've got to get the vibe. You can't coddle them. They have to know that that's not a sound that they need to get used to.
Sorry, animal people out there, but Matt is an idiot today. That is stupid. Don't do it. Put him in the house.
They get it in the house. It's not like you can't hear inside the house.
If you turn on the TV real loud, they won't hear it.
Oh, that's your plan? Well, yeah. I forget. You run around with those overbred hybrid little rat dogs that you have. I've got big animals that are actually can absorb and get used to what's going on.
No, mine can't at all.
Yours can't.
No.
They go waddle and they pee on themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want that to happen. So turn on their best. Put on Hooch or Beethoven or something and let them watch TV. What I do.
Do your dogs watch? Do you ever notice? Do you think that dogs actually, because they look, when my dog hears a dog on TV, they'll turn their head and stare at it for a while. Do you think they know what they're looking at?
My dogs know nothing. I see it on like Instagram. You'll see dogs watching TV. I'll go, how come our dogs can't do anything? Literally nothing. All right.
Do you still do what I told you to do? Is that make sure in their meal, feed them a little bit of pieces of rubber band? So when they poop in your yard, you could pick up the poop by the rubber band and then fling it into your neighbor's yard. Do you do that yet? That's how I do it.
I don't know what to say.
You have no response to that?
No.
Feed your dogs some strands of rubber band in their meal, and then when they poop out, there's little, like, things you can grab onto. Wear gloves if you can. You can spin them around, and you can shoot them like slingshots into the different neighbors' yards that you don't like.
Email to Maddie. What is it? Maddie at J? Maddie?
Let's not get it
out. Because I don't even know what to say right now.
Let's not really give that out.
Well, mine's out. I get the PAG meter emailed after every show.
Well, that's because I gave out your address. Yours is out.
I get good and bad and ugly.
That's what you choose to do. You're a Twitter guy. You are that guy that likes to keep the public involved with retweets and tweets on everything that goes on in here. That's what we like about you.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Lori's chiming in, my wife.
Lori's in. Good.
She loves the Teddy dog, who weighs 3 pounds, loves the Game of Thrones. And she'll literally sit there and watch it. The other dogs have no idea what they're doing.
Okay, what's a teddy dog?
It's our dog now, but Tessa's dog, who's now
at our
house.
Tessie's now. You guys have kept the
it's
dog.
It's official. Well, the teddy dog loves the pack
That's without a doubt. Now, that dog I like. It's just small enough to where it really can't get into too much trouble.
It weighs 3 pounds.
Yeah.
Have you ever – I have the smallest dog ever, and it's full grown.
I don't even know how – like I said, that's breeding and breeding and years of different breeding – to downsize an animal to where they could fit inside your little Gucci purse.
Yeah, and Lori's afraid that I'm going to mess it up like the other dog, so I'm trying to stay away from it, but Teddy loves me.
What if you get up, where does the dog sleep?
In a little box.
In your room?
No, in the living room.
Because my dogs sleep all around the house, and you'll get up in the middle of the night, and they don't move, and if you don't see them, I've punctured the lung and ribs of my lab a few times, I think, just by stepping
right. Golf shoes?
Well, I step on top of them. I'm kind of a large guy. And he just moves aside, lets me know, I'm here, it's okay. You step on that little dog you've got.
Oh, well, Lori already almost broke
her Christmas.
Foot. So when they were running out in the backyard last week, and Lori, big clomp her feet, and they're running, and she stepped on little Teddy's foot, and she limped for like 12 hours, and we almost had to take it into, not St. Agnes, well, I mean, actually St. Agnes, because we were way past that. Just let's wait till the morning before we spend $600 on a vet to say she's fine. No, I think I broke her foot. And then the next morning, the dog's running everywhere. I was right on that one.
Do you have a pattern of walking the dog? Yeah, you do?
Yeah, we walk her.
So you have an established pattern at home, and you're at home around 6 or 7?
She knows when the leash goes on.
What time is feeding time in your house with those five or six animals you have?
About 8 o'clock at night.
What do you mean about? They don't have an established time? You just do it when you're ready? Or?
Yeah, 7:30 to 8, somewhere in that area.
Okay, so that's step number one in the dog training manual. You don't have an established time. You give them a certain amount of time to eat, or you just put food out. They just nibble and gobble throughout the day.
Oh, it's a feast.
Oh, it's a feast.
It's like piranhas.
Okay.
And Snoopy, our little Havanese dog, I would put her against any dog on the planet in a eating contest. She'll eat anything. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And she'll out-eat all the other dogs, and the other dogs are... I didn't get anything today because Snoopy ate it all.
Yeah, that's my lab. The terrier, the pit bull, is you know, done, and you know, you don't need to feed him. The lab will just continue to eat, just and gets done with a giant meal and still looking at me as I'm eating my dinner, like, can I have, you know, some of yours now?
He starts calling you. And by the way, that is a sport. So we're actually talking dogs and sport because about a month ago I'm watching on one of the channels, and all of a sudden they have the dog show.
Oh, yeah.
And let me ask you, why do the women who have to walk, you know, Chachi around Madison Square Garden
dog
have
handlers.
To wear those giant ugly shoes from 1936 with the long dress, and they have to waddle with the dog? Can't they smile? And then who is judging? There's always that one guy with the goatee and the beard. He hasn't smiled since 1984. He walks around, you, and you. The rest, get out of here. Who's giving him the information? Is that just his own deal?
That's an elite group of people that obviously you or I have probably never hung out with. But the dog handler, if you will, that is pretty much, if there was a stereotypical job and featured body type and clothing design wear that goes with that job, they all look the same to me.
Where do you get that outfit?
I have no idea. I think you probably shopped at like Hogwarts and somewhere, seriously, where you've got to put on an outfit that looks close to what maybe the witches of Eastwick would wear.
Yes, exactly. A big giant jacket. It looks, you know, wool.
Yeah.
But then the guy's puts his hand inside the bitha, right in the butt, and says, okay, good. Lifts the tail up, checks the teeth. And then they line them up, and the dog, okay, you. Does he have earphones? Does he have a panel of judges?
Well, what I don't get is that those, and the dogs that win are deemed champions. Let's just use the Labrador Retriever variety. My dog looks exactly the same as the dog that just won the Westminster Kennel deal. They They're all the same. It's like a homogeneous world of dogs.
That's what I want to know.
Your dog, if it has any kind of like purebred to it, they all look the same. So what are you looking for? Maybe is the shoulder muscle a little bit better than the other dog?
What I'm saying is it fixed going in?
I think it's fixed going in. I think it's like anything else. It's like the elections. Everything seems to be fixed and fake news. I think the people that judge and the people that are the ones in charge, they already have the breed of dog they like. It's the dog they've got at home in their little apartment in New York City. The guy that has the Rottweiler down in North Carolina and he's breeding Rottweilers, that Rottweiler never wins. To me, it's the most beautiful dog in that competition. But if you notice, the big dogs get definitely I do believe there's some dog discrimination going on. The big dogs get shanked. The little cute little poodles that you have that you can shave their hair and turn a puff of hair on top of their head, you could give them a little trim waistline and then give them a big tuft of hair around their chest, those dogs are always winning. And for me, those dogs are ugly.
Do you think we can announce that? Oh, here comes Skippy. Skippy is a Cocker Spaniel. You know, he was born in England. He was born in, and then moved to Switzerland when he was two. And
you could, you would be better probably at the Westminster Kennel Show than a lot of sports.
You think so?
Well, because it lends itself to any interpretation of it. You could say whatever. There's no, like, set rule that it was power or counter or dive, or it's just whatever you like. And if the dog comes out you don't like,
yeah,
tell the world, not my particular pedigree.
And here comes Skippy's handler, a very masculine woman, and she's walking down with her giant, you know, thick boots, and I just don't understand the whole who's all I want to know is, if you and I are judging and someone came up with a check for 10 grand, hey, Skippy needs
to. Oh, so you're saying there's corruption potentially?
Because who's helping him judge? This guy just shows up and they all line up and he starts pointing. Who's giving him the. Who's doing it?
To me, it's a definite personal preference, like I said. It would be no different than if you've ever noticed in the world of gymnastics, especially in the past. They're getting better at it now. But I would sit there and be as neutral as I could and watch two different male or female gymnasts complete their routine. And I thought, toes were pointed, level of difficulty looked difficult
and
on both sides.
The same way.
But yet one's coming in already as the world's champion. The other girl or guy is ranked number 6 in the world. It seems like they always leave room for scoring in there to where, well, we can't give them what it really was, a 10. I didn't see anything wrong with it. We got to give them a 9-7. So we're waiting on Nadia. Nadia, she's ranked number 1 in the world. We got to give her a better chance. You're not judging something on its own merits every time and time out.
Those are the sports I don't like.
I don't like those sports.
The boxing is like that because you know how those judges are. You got diving. Oh, she just did a 3.5 turn back axle flip. And oh, she got an A. Oh, did you see her right toe? It was pointing east. Oh, she's going to lose points on that. Really? Really?
Yeah, it's a tough deal. It's a judgment call.
I don't like the judgment sports.
Those have you been watching 7-on-7 now, the opening? It's on ESPN right now. And it's highlighting all of the great high school football players, juniors, sophomores that will be juniors, and juniors that will be seniors. In the 7-on-7, it's junior class that will be seniors. A lot of these guys have already verbally committed to universities all over. And I am here to tell you, without any hesitation, I don't know what's going on. Maybe football is waning a little bit, but the level of talent in the high school ranks around America is better than I've ever seen it. How many 6'5", 6'7", 295 dudes are run? A lot, apparently, because I saw some of the greatest-looking athletes in football that I've ever seen, all taking place in the state of Texas right now inside the Dallas Cowboys arena.
I think boys basketball is on the rise, finally, after all these years, and I think girls basketball is dwindling. I think girls basketball right now is down a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you talking nationally or just in our community?
Well, I don't know national, but I'm just saying in our neck of the woods, put it that way. I think girls basketball is down. Football, maybe because of the training now, they're getting bigger.
Well,
if you're watching that, don't get excited about the quarterback, everyone, because there's no live bullets. And until I see a live bullet coming at a quarterback, that's when I know if he's good or not. Oh, look at he's 12 for 13 for 400 yards here in 7-on-7.
Well, Trent Dilfer, the ex-great Bulldog football player / Super Bowl champion / now he coaches college football, but he also continues. He's one of the ringleaders of this entire Elite 11 / the opening where they they congregate all the greatest high school football players together.
He's now coaching once high school in Tennessee, by the way. A private professional high school. He's taking over.
That's what I'm saying. He's now
you
coaching.
You said college.
I thought it was a small college.
Oh,
but
no,
either
it's
way.
A I believe it's a high school.
Okay, I thought it was a different, smaller college. Either way, he's coaching. He is says that very thing every time he's interviewed when they're guessing, well, what do you think? Is this guy? There is no such thing as the sure thing is his deal. There is no can't-miss prospect at the world of quarterbacking. There are can't-miss prospects in different variety of positions on the football field. But at quarterback, it is the ultimate position where you know what you have going in physically, but until the live bullets are whizzing around and you're trying to find your way and get the passing, throwing lanes and all that, and do what you do with your feet and all that under pressure, you never truly know. But I saw the greatest collection of quarterbacks. I saw the greatest collection of receivers. This, without question, is the uptick of what 7-on-7, what all these year-round training techniques these kids are getting in quarterbacking and receiving and drills and all that they do. I think the fruits of all that labor are starting to pay off. We are as talented in the world of football as we've ever been at any time in our lives.
What schools were you looking at, or what teams around the country?
What do you mean what teams? This is the elite top juniors to be seniors in America go to what's get the invitation to go to the opening. There's regional tournaments and things or qualifiers all over America where this collection, every athlete's there is all Division I material. Every one of these athletes, whether they've committed to Alabama or wherever they're planning on going, every one of those athletes that are at this showcase are all the top of the food chain. And it's amazing at that level. So I was talking to Coach Anthony Gallegos earlier today when I made a comment about, I think the problem with the USC Trojans right now is that they might have the new air raid offense, and they might have a collection of great wideouts and potentially a great quarterback or two they're developing. But they're now recruiting. When Isaac Jernigan, Bakersfield, now down at Rancho Santa Margarita, the great wide receiver, who's a three-star rated prospect, been offered by Nevada, San Jose State, I think the Arizona Wildcats. When he's contemplating his USC offer, and he's a three-star, there's the problem with USC right now. The fact of the matter is you can make a three-star into a five-star, and you can make a five-star look like a one-star after 4 years of college football. But by and large, the only teams, I use your terms, you have zero chance of winning a national championship if you don't win the recruiting war, if you don't get five or six five-star guys on your roster. Everybody, you always wonder about star rate. That's bullcrap, one-star, two-star, who cares? No, the guys that I saw on TV that are the five-star, four-star guys, you get a collection of those guys on your team. You're going to miss on two or three of them, but overwhelmingly over time, your four-star, five-star recruiting class is always going to beat up on the one-star, two-star, three-star school. Every single time, look at what history tells us. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, LSU, USC under Pete Carroll. What was the common thread to all those schools? They won the recruiting battle. They got the best collection of five-star guys and four-star guys every year. What's happened to USC? They're committing. I got the two-star guy. He committed. Of course he did. You offered everybody. Now the two- and three-star guys are saying yes to your offer. And now USC's recruiting. I'm using USC as an example because they're one of the elite powers that is now getting watered down into this three-star status. Watch. Not going to bode well for the Trojans over time if that's the kind of recruiting class that Clay Helton's been getting in there.
Well, why is that? Is that because of the recruiting coordinator? They're going after because I'm telling you right now, Matt Johnson, if for a local guy from California, you know your high school if he's a 2, 3,
sure.
4, 5 star.
Pretty much.
Sure, some colleges don't.
Well, no, I think colleges do. I think what's happened is recruiting is sales. It's not like sales. It is sales. And the best salesmen in America are those charismatic, get along well with any kid, regardless of race, religion. They just get along with people. And when you're failing in the recruiting battle, it usually does, when you're a powerhouse program, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, USC, if you're failing in the recruiting battle, it does come down to the people that are going out and visiting these kids. I get visited a lot by coaches, and a lot of times I'm very impressed, but there's also times when the coach leaves and I'm giving that coach zero chance of helping develop the recruiting side of things because they just don't interact well with kids.
You can tell if he's a used car salesman.
Well, not just used car salesman. There's not a lot of those kind out there anymore. Just doesn't know how to grab that 6'6", 6'5" guy that is bashful, doesn't talk a lot, and all of a sudden, just in a matter of 30 minutes, win the kid over where they're high-fiving and they're, you know, rubbing shoulders and all that. There's a special science to recruiting, and the schools that do it well, number one, have a couple common things and a few things in common. One, you got a program. We're not talking about a state college program. We're talking about a power program. Alabama is the prime example. Once they started winning, they didn't win based on lack of talent or talent, overwhelming talent. They won because they finally hired a coach who had a way about him. He had an aura about him, and that's Nick Saban. And then who did he go out and recruit to coach with him? The greatest recruiters in the land all went to Alabama. And next thing you know, the recruiting classes are showing that every year they're number one, two, or three in the recruiting battle, and then they start winning titles.
And Clemson kind of got the idea.
Clemson, without doubt, right now, they're the number one rated recruiting school in America. They're ranked number one as early as it is right now. And guess what? They're the best football team in America.
It's interesting that, do you ever hear, because you were involved when you were the guru, you were the guy for a while, high school, you know, recruiting. You get to hear all these coaches come in. Are they promising them, oh, you're going to start for me?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
I don't want to hear that.
I've never, ever. Now, I've heard coaches from the smaller schools, not naming who they are, not our local smaller level of school, but some in their own conference, who have looked at the guy that was potentially entertaining the Florida offer, the Oklahoma offer, and said, look, you're going to go to a place where you just want to be another one of their guys, or do you want to be the guy at my school? At my school, you will walk in as the man. They didn't offer a...
Is that a good way to do it?
Yeah, you don't say, you're going to start day one. But they tell you, our plan for you is get you on the field right now. But I don't see a lot of the old days. The old school days, I think when I was going through it in the 80s, I think there was a lot more of that where they were making guarantees. Hell, they were giving people property, money, cash, and everything else, incentives to go to colleges. They just do it in a different way now.
Well, a lot of these colleges, too, and I mean these recruiters, their butts are on the line. They have to win now. They don't have time to, well, we want to gray shirt you and then red shirt you. And, you know, I might not be around after your red shirt. Who knows?
That's right.
So they have to start winning now. And this is why it's an art, like you just said, to get a kid. And again, how many times have we said the kid has to fall in love with the college?
That's right.
The surroundings. Before the coach.
This is how you know that Jeff Tedford and Fresno State are doing a heck of a real great job. Really. Because you're now seeing kids that were going to larger schools. Let's just say they were going to Pac-12 schools. They don't like it. It wasn't working out. How many times, and you and I have been doing this for years, did that bounce back guy decide, I'm going to go back to Fresno State? It doesn't happen as much. Now you're getting all these level of potential highly ranked student athletes that are wanting, their first choice is Fresno State. Their first choice is not Boise State or Arizona that they have an opportunity to go to. They're thinking Fresno State. Clearly, Coach Tedford is doing a spectacular job of recruiting. He doesn't get the opportunity really to entertain many five-star guys. He can talk to them. He can send letters and correspondence with those guys. But most of the five-star guy is looking for the big, what he considers the greener pasture, the Power 5 conference guy. So for him to get the level of ranked athletes in, that's a spectacular job at Fresno State.
Okay, Garrett wants to know, you're talking about 7-on-7 quarterbacks. Why can you tell if he's going to be good or not? And I'll give you two theories on throwing a football and even a softball. Two things to look for. Again, how many times have I said, if the ball is pointed sideways, the kid has a very slim chance of being ever good. Just your first note.
Yeah.
If the ball's pointed down, look at any NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
The ball's pointed down.
Yep.
Less wrist and be more accurate. The other thing is that silly softball swing. When you see a girl in the on-deck circle and she's swinging that silly swing and that bat hits the on her warm-up or her swing, hits herself in the back, zero chance she's ever going to be a good softball player. Watch the good hitters next time you watch college, the World Series, how good those swings are. Those are the two things. But I would just say because there's no live bullets, Garrett.
Well, no, no, Garrett, he asked a question. It was about quarterback.
Yeah, he wants to know how can why can't you tell if he's going to be good? Because there's no live bullets coming. You got to have. I want to see an offensive line. You feel. All I'm saying is 7-on-7, Matt. You see more passing down the middle.
Yeah.
And less passing down the middle when there's 11-on-11.
Sure. No, but that's not what we said. I didn't say. That's not what Trent Dilfer said to answer Garrett's question. We didn't talk about why can't they be good or why can't you identify whether the guy's going to be good. You can identify as they're doing right now. I watched it on television last night. I identified every one of them as being very good. How do they actually pan out in the world of Saturday in the Coliseum?
Can't tell.
Who could tell that? Yeah. That's like saying that we just drafted in the 18th pick of the first round. We got that. How do you really know the guy's going to be that good until he actually does
it? I think what happens, they send you film. You see him in full gear in a game and plus 7-on-7.
You take, let's add all up, all the pieces. One, classroom demeanor. How does he pick up, how does he learn and absorb material on the whiteboard when we're talking about coverages and everything else there is to talk about? How does he respond in the classroom? Check mark, good, if he's doing it right. On the field, as he goes out onto the field, how does he spin a football? How does he throw it? How does it release? Does it come out quick? What's his feet like? Or is his footwork under his body? Is he getting his back foot planted in the grass? Those are technique things. If you have that, put that check mark. He's got that figured out. Oh, by the way, how does he get along with his teammates, the guys he's working with? Does he appear to be a leader? Check mark. That's all you need to know. That's a great quarterback. 6'4", 210 pounds, great leadership, great classroom demeanor, great rapport with his teammates, and what a leader this guy has to be. And, oh, by the way, he can throw it 65 yards. You have a chance. And every quarterback that's in that Elite 11 group, the 20 that they invite, they're all in that category. They're all being gobbled up by the Power 5 conference schools.
But they've also played serious high school football. That's what I'm talking about. This isn't because we saw how many times that we see you and I, local phenoms, and I said he has zero chance at the next level. And they're, no way, he's great. You know, how many times were we correct on that?
Well, that's because you're dealing with people that haven't traveled. They see something they like because that's all they've ever seen they like. They haven't been back to San Antonio and watched the best in America go at it, which I've been watching for the last how many years now. And I'm telling you, there is such an overwhelming amount of talent in this country. No wonder schools like Clemson can start recruiting well and start beating up on Alabama because there's players out there. It's a matter of recruiting them.
They got a great young quarterback. Let's take a break. Gianna's in the house. My daughter Gianna Papagni in the house.
Gianna.
So we'll take a break. We're going to talk about... Let's do the fall sports awards, and we're going to start at the fall.
Yep.
Football, tennis, water polo, all that good stuff. When we come back, you're listening to The Rice Show.
We'll be back. Don't turn that dial.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. It's the Pack Meter. It's Manny J. This isn't one of your super shows with the tape. We did it back in October. No, this is live Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. We're Manny J. This place is jamming right now. People are walking around and doing stuff.
Why not? Traditionally, this is the time of year where you start to get ready. It's summertime, and you're going to be inside a lot because of the heat, and you want to have your comforts of home to the best of the standards that you expect. And right here at Fashion Furniture, the standards are set the highest of any furniture store that I've been around ever. Why not come to Fashion Furniture and explore your future?
Why not? Right? Let's talk in the end of the year sports stories. We just did the fall. We set our team of the year, and all the fall teams is the Strathmore Spartans, three-peat champs. Jeremy Blackwell, the head coach of Strathmore, moving up to Division 5. We'll see how he does this year, but Strathmore is on a roll out there.
Yeah, and for the young ladies, Washington Union Panthers, volleyball champions, winning their state section championship, those are our two fall sport team award winners.
Yeah, congratulations. Washington Union Panthers did a great job. Let's go to the fall sports. Let's start with basketball.
Let's try the winner.
Let's start with basketball on the boys' side. You and I did the game at Sullen Arena. Clovis West in double overtime beat the Bullard Knights. And they just did the opening here for our show. But what a game that was. One of the maybe the most exciting games I think you and I have ever seen.
for so many years, seemingly, since the return of Coach Vance Wahlberg to Clovis West, the rub has been, well, yeah, he's back, but he's not winning any championships. He needs to get over the hump and win a title now that he's back. And he kept running into roadblocks, whether it be Bullard, Central, whoever. But now he put together not only a magical season, but what a way to finish for a championship. So right now they're the leader in the clubhouse for my boys' side for the winter sports, the Clovis West championship basketball team.
No question about it. Division II, shocker, we did this game as well. San Joaquin Memorial crushed San Luis Obispo. San Luis Obispo, first time in Salem Arena, had a great time, but boy, oh boy, it was a tough one.
Big time trouble. I couldn't help but feel, although they had a couple dudes on that San Luis Obispo squad, but I couldn't help but during warm-ups have them glance over to the other side and watch the level of athleticism and talent that San Joaquin Memorial possessed. And I just felt like they knew going in, but we are way over our skis in this game.
Yeah,
and it turned out that way. They weren't prepared for that.
How many times have we watched Salem Arena where it's all about the start? And if you don't get off to a good start, you're done. And they were done early.
Yeah, no doubt.
Division III, Emmanuel, they're the six-peat champions. They beat Dinuba. And just Emmanuel knows how to get to Salem Arena and take care of business.
They do, but they're also one of those schools that clearly, if you're looking at and you're trying to be somewhat critical in our time with the level of talent that San Joaquin Memorial's put through and some of the talent they've had to play in big games, Emmanuel's had a pretty good cush walk through some teams too. Anytime you win that many championships, there at least has to be a discussion of maybe you're not playing in the right division.
Well,
and if we're going to be fair, we talk that way about San Joaquin. We need to talk that way at times with Emmanuel, because there were some basketball teams that they put forth over the years that had head and shoulders a shoe-in to get a championship. This year was a little different, but still, they've done it six times. They deserve it. They've worked hard. But they're just, in my opinion, off a little bit on the competitive equity of the teams they play.
Division IV, Foothill beats Bakersfield Christian. And Foothill got to go to Division V on the state side, and they're the state champs, even though they clearly should have been Division maybe two or three. But they're the champs. You can't take anything away from the Trojans.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, continue.
That's all you got?
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to, belabor the point. Let's get through. Let's pay everybody their tribute.
Division five.
Do I have to give a color analyst on every single team?
Well,
we'll be here
till
4 o'clock. We will be here till 4.
Division five, Liberty Bandera Ranchos gets a Division five section championship. They beat Fireball.
There's never been a team in the history of the Valley, in my opinion, where one individual student athlete meant so much to one program. Turned them around. Just by his appearance, Mr. Whiteside showing up in game over, set, match, championship.
Scored 38 points. I don't know if that's good.
Anytime you can get a Division I level prospect to go into a Division V program, you're talking Sweet 16.
We're talking Sweet 16. And the girls' side, well, shocker, Clovis West. I think it was 10 years in a row something. They crushed Clovis North. Again, did not get off to a great start. Clovis North thought they had a shot, but Craig Campbell and company took care of business.
Well, I do recall, did this not happen? Clovis North, for one moment, one shining moment, had pierced their armor and got themselves past the Clovis West domination. And it was almost as if Clovis West went back to the drawing board and said, come on, this isn't going to happen again. And they had a great game plan going into Salem Arena and absolutely bushwhacked Clovis North, who was injured a little bit in the game. But Clovis West did what they knew they could do. And they absolutely demoralized the Clovis North Bronco ladies team.
Yeah, I think they lost during the regular season.
They did.
When I were there.
Yeah.
But maybe it was a wake-up call.
Yeah, possibly.
Sometimes a loss is a pretty good. Let's go Division II. Back-to-back champs for the Bakersfield Drillers. They beat Yosemite. Division III, Selma Bears beat Fresno High. Actually crushed. Just a good year for the Selma Bears girls basketball team. San Joaquin Memorial, Division IV champs, back-to-back. They beat McFarland. Now, Memorial, as you and I, we had Corey Fisher on, they have to decide what they want to do. They got another, I don't know how much time they have. They might play Division I. So it's up to Memorial.
Well, I don't think they're prepared for Division I yet, but definitely Division II.
We'll see. If they want to win, and I said, Corey, do you want to win a championship? Section championship, or what do you want to do? And he said, I think the girls might want to win a Central Section Championship. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Right? Let's go to Division 5, Carruthers. And that's the game I was there. And Carruthers got up 21-0 over Kalinga. They beat Kalinga. They're the section champs. And also Carruthers is the state championships on the girls' side. We had them all here.
Bingo. They were all in the studio. And what a brilliant, smart group of talented student-athletes.
Yeah, and they did it from the ground floor up, which is kind of cool to see, Matt. Let's go to the soccer side.
Let's not. Let's vote right now. Let's get it in. I don't understand what your plan is. We just did boys and girls basketball. My team, I'll take first for the boys' side. This year's team of the year goes to the Clovis West boys basketball team. Coach Vance Wahlberg and his team got over the hump in one of the great basketball games, let alone a finish worthy of our show. That is our opening statement we make to the public every time on Thursday. What a game. It is definitely why you and I do local sports.
I think I heard that before.
You have definitely heard it before. Great job. Sasha Ray goes the full length of the court in 2.6 seconds?
Yeah.
Touchdown, Clovis West. They're my team of the year for the boys.
My team of the year are the Emmanuel Eagles. Six-peat. They got six straight rings.
Nice pick. I almost went there, and I had as I'm looking at my notes. That was the first one. Until you mentioned a little group called Carruthers. And Carruthers did the one thing that I said trumps everything else. You win your section championship, and you go to the state, and you win a state championship. Carruthers, hands down, they're my team, girls basketball team of the year.
No question about it. I'm glad you said that. There's my girls team as well. Soccer side. On the Division I boys side, Central beat Ridgeview. I'll just fly through this. Tulare Western beat Sanger, and again in those silly, pathetic penalty kicks. I don't like it. You like it, but I don't like it.
I like it. I don't mind it at all. It's part of the game. That's in the rule book, and I think it's the most exciting part of soccer is penalty kicks.
I don't know why. The best team doesn't win. I'm sorry. But
they made the penalty kicks. The best team did win.
Okay. Madera South.
I don't understand how we could be more clear than that. It comes down by rule. Comes down to PKs. I made six, you made five, I'm the winner, I'm better than you. You can talk all you want. You had a chance in 679 minutes to try to beat me. You couldn't get it done. In penalty kicks, I put it through the net more than you did. I'm the winner, the champion.
So you would like football, Madera South tied with Madera, and we're going to go to field goal kicking, and they have a better kicker than you.
If that's in the rule book and that's how you end it, game over, set, match.
You're an easy guy. That's all I'm going to tell you. Madera South beat Tulare. You
and
were
the
at
boys.
That game.
They beat Tulare
3-1.
Yes, they did, and then they went into a state run. It was a beautiful thing to watch. Very, very pleased.
Tell me, what was the after effect on that at the school?
We now have 422 soccer players and about 11 football players, American football. Soccer is on fire, Madera, and it should be. Because it's a sport, it's an activity to where kids are getting involved. Anytime you can raise the spirits of the student body in anything you do, soccer, the boys soccer team from Madera South brought that magic to our community. I'm so proud of them. What did it do? It lifted us up so people can remember that the purple and black, we're just not going to go quietly into the night and say good night. We're here to compete.
How's the latest? What's the stadium looking like?
Stadium will be done in August. It's getting there. The seats are in. The press box has been lowered in. And I'm hoping that you'll be able to do our Wasco, our first official home game in the new stadium.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be nice.
Give me a phone line?
Yep. If things aren't going well, I might join you in the booth, too. I might be up there calling the game with you. You never know.
Would you yell? That's what I want to see you yell. Get back into screaming. Come on!
While I'm in this booth or down on the field?
No, on the booth. That's what
you
want.
Yeah, you got it. Let's keep going. Let's go.
All right. Well, I just lost my train.
You were on here. Yeah. Divisional championship for Madera South boys soccer.
Oh, real fast, how's the stadium coming along?
You hit me with the stadium. Now I'm officially the blow I hit to your head is really getting to you.
Is it coming? Is it late?
I just said August.
August. I didn't hear you August. Sorry, I was looking at my notes.
You were talking about you're like my wife. You never listen.
Okay, Foothill in Division 4. Foothill beat Miramonte. Division 5, Garces. How did they get Division 5? I'll never know. They beat Mendota. In Division 6, Exeter over CVC on the boys' side. On the girls' side, San Luis Obispo beat Clovis North, the number one seed, in a great, great game in Division 1. Division 2, Edison over Liberty. Division 3, Mission Oaks over Golden West. Division 4, Kingsburg over Exeter in Division 5. Washington Union, Cindy Kuma scores the winning goal and beats Sierra Pacific.
Cindy Kuma, kind of a word you're going to hear
starting
a little bit about.
She's starting to see a theme there?
Starting to see a theme. She's been on, how many rings is she going to be wearing?
That's two now.
Yeah, it might be worth pointing out, too, in the world of soccer on the boys' side. Didn't Garces also win a state championship?
I should know that, huh?
Yeah, because Madera South was not the only state champion.
Right. Yes.
I think Garces went through to that deal, too. Therefore, I lending myself to the co-boys team of the year for the winter sports. I'm going to break a little tradition on this, and I'm going to give that up for the soccer team from both Madera South and the boys team from Garces, because I do believe they won a state championship.
I do believe. Yeah, that's a good one. But I'm going on the girls' side, Washington Union girls' team, of course. And we already said the boys, so
yep.
I'm Emmanuel. So should we take a break and wrap it up? Keep it going. We got. Let's take a quick break.
How do you know about breaks? Is someone telling you need a break?
No, I just feel like it because I want to do the spring now.
Okay. Well, we got to get done the spring. Then we got to get our male and female athlete of the year. We're running out of time.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Rice Show, 940 ESPN. We'll be right back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. Matty J, the Pack Meter. Happy 4th of July. Be safe tonight. Have the hose ready, Matt, in the front yard. You never know when fireworks get out of hand. So just be careful tonight.
Yeah, safe and sane is the way to go. And if you're in a dry field, if you're out by, let's say, Valley Children's Hospital, and you're off the side of the road there, off of Avenue, what is that, 9? You might not want to shoot your bottle rocket into that field because it is dry, high, and ready to go.
Yeah.
Be safe out there, people.
Yeah, don't do it on the side of the roads either because we've got about 3-foot weeds now on the 41. What a difference. I got back from Utah last week, man, and I didn't see one cup on the side of the road for 200 miles. Here, people just throw their food out inside and the weeds.
Short of serious felony-type activity, whether it's harm to one person or another, nothing gets me more upset than when I see someone haphazardly roll their window down and throw their McDonald's lunchbox out the window without even thinking about it. And that happens more than not. If you want to pride yourselves in this great state of California of being this liberal bastion of green ideas, then how about this concept? Stop littering. That's number one. And that's not a Republican or a Democratic thing. That's a fact. There's more litter and trash on the streets of this community and throughout the state of California, but yet we pride ourselves in that we're in this environmentally sound condition here in California. That's where I say fake news, it's hogwash. We are a group of people that don't understand how harmful throwing trash onto our streets actually is.
Just would love to clean up, so when we do get new people coming in.
I police it myself. If you throw something down in front of me, if you're within arm reach of me where I can run and track you down, I'm letting you have it because I do it on the campus of where I've worked at Edison and Albedera South. When the kids just leave their lunch and don't find the trash can, they know Coach Johnson's going to lay into them.
Before we get to the spring, we got to talk about Buchanan. The wrestling is my team of the year. State champs again.
Winter sport for me, and we talked basketball, and I got a little bit over my skis on basketball because I love the sport. But wrestling to me is a true, true character sport if there ever was one. And we don't always pay as much attention to wrestling. I have in my awards, which you'll see at the end of this show, but I'm telling you right now, Buchanan, what Selma does in wrestling, what the towns and the schools in Madera do for wrestling, Bullard's got a great wrestling program. I'm very impressed with, obviously, Clovis and Clovis North and everyone else. Wrestling, we are the number one wrestling region in America, and we need to obviously pay more tribute to that.
We don't. We're just getting used to them winning all the time. So, no big deal. Buchanan won again, or Selma wins again. We don't get – you're absolutely right, Matty J.
Yeah. I saw the trend in track and field this year, as we'll talk about when we get to the spring sports and finish the show off. But the repetition of greatness starts to rub off on the youngsters, and now you can see that we are, like I said, the wrestling capital not only of California but most likely America, if not the world. That's paid off, and wrestling is back at Fresno State. Wrestling's in great, great hands, and that sport is thriving.
Let's talk. You want to go How would you like to go?
Well, I just want to go. We just want to make it easy on this one before we go to tennis. Buchanan boys, awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Selma girls program and boys program, awesome. Those are the featured highlights. Of course, down in Bakersfield, they wrestle too at Bakersfield and other schools. Give them full credit. But clearly Buchanan now is all of a sudden the top of the heap in the world of wrestling.
No question. Let's go to boys tennis. Clovis North beat Arroyo Grande to win the Central Section Championship again. They just continue to dominate. Division II, Sanger, the one seed, beat CVC, the three seed. So Sanger's, you know, they're starting to grow in these other kind of sports.
Well, they are.
To be Chuck Shanahan.
Definitely,
sports.
But let me set the criteria for you, similar to track and field and wrestling. The fact that there are divisions in tennis. Tennis is a singular individual sport. You could come from Tehipity High School somewhere in America and be the best tennis player on the planet. I don't believe in track and field. You notice they did go small school division first time ever. But in the world of wrestling, there's no favoritism whether you're in a small school or a big school. You got to go wrestle with the big kid or the kid from the smallest school. Tennis should be the same way. Therefore, I'll cut to the chase on this. Clovis North wins my award team of the year in that sport, obviously, from all sections. Clovis North is the preeminent tennis program in our section. They get the award.
Okay. Let's go Division III. Yosemite beat Mount Whitney. Division IV, Sierra Pacific knocked off Mission Prep. So I'm starting to – I like to see more of the Central Coast teams come in. Aren't you excited about that?
Yeah, and you would think, and in the world of tennis and the sports like golf, that they'd be very proficient in that world. Because let's be honest, tennis, golf, those are socioeconomic sports. And if you were growing up on the coastline next to, you know, Spyglass, you might be a better chance of being a good golfer than the kid that grows up next to Roosevelt High School in Fresno.
Fresno Christian is a champion, Division V. So congratulations to the Eagles. Let's go to volleyball. Clovis knocked off. Clovis beat Clovis East.
Yeah, the Clovis High School boys team.
Yeah, they beat Clovis East in the Central Section Championship. There's only two divisions in volleyball, and someday we'll get more teams playing. You think there will be?
I don't think it. Hopefully, maybe, but is it necessary, really? I don't believe it is.
Madera South beat Sunnyside to win the D2 championship. I would have loved to see Madera South play Clovis for the outright best team in the section.
Yeah, we would have all. They did get a chance to play common opponents during the year, and it was very close on score. But I'd probably give Clovis a slight nod, but it would be a great match.
Yeah, really. A big rain weekend. But Clovis, congratulations to the Cougars. D2, back-to-back champ, San Joaquin Memorial, beat Sanger in 9 innings in a great game, 3-2. Highland beats Atascadero 3-0 in Division 3, Division 4, Chowchilla over Menachie. Division 5, Liberty Madera Ranchos beat Minarets 2-1. Division 6, Bishop Union crushed Foothill. Softball. You ready for softball?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Stockdale beat the Bullard Knights 1-0. Kingsburg over Hanford in Division 2, 12-8. Division 3, Templeton beat Dinuba in a great game, 3-2. Division 4, Washington Union beat Fowler. Sidney Kuma with a one-hitter. Man, I heard that name again. Division 5, Kern Valley beat Carruthers. And Division 6, 7-0, CVC beat Foothill to win the championship.
Yeah, and in that side on girls of softball, even though Washington Union, full credit once again to Cindy Kuma, but Stockdale to complete the deal in the highest level of bat and ball sports there is. You do all the games. I'd come out with you and watch baseball and softball. Now, that is a sport where Division I compared to watching Division II, III, or IV, night and day difference with how they handle the defensive moves and the way they handle the turning two and all the things that goes on with baseball and softball. I definitely have to give Stockdale a nod. That's our best boys team. And in the girls' side, girls' Stockdale, and in the boys' side, no-brainer, 10 championships in a row. Hello, Clovis Cougars win it again. They weren't a favorite. You and I saw them play in the Easter Classic. I thought, boy, these guys, no chance. Are they going to win a Valley or section championship in baseball? But he pulled it around Coach Patrick, and that program deserves it. That's my rankings. Let's not forget track and field, which is going to play this whole spring deal out. If you've talked about everything else there is to talk about in sports, Buchanan girls track team. By the way, we missed cross country in the beginning too, by the way, in the fall. No disrespect to cross country.
Yes, I didn't have my list. Sorry.
We missed that one. But in track and field, Buchanan girls, Clovis North boys, win the Valley, win the section championships, and then go on to state. And both those programs won state championships. Never in the history of our CIF has there ever been two state champions, let alone one. The first one was Clovis East in a three-way tie with other schools, the boys' team. Clovis North boys, Buchanan girls, which is going to segue in as we're running out of time on this show. Let me get into it right now. My team of the year for boys athletics through this last athletic season. Drum roll,
yeah,
please.
We need a drum roll.
The Clovis North boys track and field team. They won the California State track meet, the toughest track meet in all of America to win titles in. They did it from a variety of ways. They represented our valley at the highest level and won a state championship on home soil. Unbelievable. And, of course, for the girls, I'm staying in that same vein. The fact that our Buchanan girls just won a state championship in track and field. Never will be lucky if it ever happens again that our boys and girls team win back-to-back or back-to-back state championships in both genders at a state championship, the level of our state in track and field is almost impossible. That's not to take away from the great state championship of wrestling for Buchanan, but you expect that. It's not to take away the great state championship that Madera South did in soccer in the northern region. Unbelievable. But to win a state title in track and field, I never thought I'd see that ever happen, where the southern section dominates track and field for as long as they have. Unbelievable. Kudos go to those teams. Who's your male team of the year and your female team of the year, Nick?
My male athletes? You were talking about teams right now?
You don't even listen to
me. Yeah, I'm listening. But
we're talking male team, female team of the year. We're not talking individual right now.
Okay, I'm going school. I'm going my school as Washington Union for winning three section championships, girls volleyball, girls soccer, and softball. That's my team of the year.
That's your girls team of the year, yeah, or boys included?
Girls team of the year.
Who's your boys team
boys
of the year?
Boys team of the year, tough one. If you look at all around, I have five on the list. I got to flip a coin. I'm going to go, it's a tough one. You can look at, I got to go Buchanan. Boys team, as a school-wise, what they did, I got to go Buchanan.
Yeah, no question. If you're talking about, athletic dominance in their prospective sports, I think the athletic department of Buchanan probably proved that this year. I could see that. I get it. And, of course, Washington Union winning those three sports and girls, definitely. Now, as we talk about the male athlete of the year in the CIF Central Section, we'll defer to you to start this. The male student athlete of the year.
Well, to me, it's an easy one. We're going to go with the all-time leading passer in the history of high school football for our Central Section, Mr. Central Grizzly Trent Tompkins. I mean, he broke more records. Career individual for a season, Trent Tompkins is my guy.
It's a good pick, and I cannot obviously dispute that. One of the all-time greats. Not only was a great student athlete, ambassador to the sport of football, Trent Tompkins, he did it when it counted. He won a championship, led his team to the state again, and then he obviously put up the numbers he did. However, I'm going on a different track. My California CIF Central Section male student athlete of the year comes from a little town of Selma, California, and his name is Richard Figueroa. Two-time, he's only a sophomore. He's already won
the radio.
He's already we did. Yeah, he and his sister on the radio last year. He's already won two championships, state championships in wrestling. Won the Valley Championships, Masters of Wrestling twice in a row now. Wrestling at 113 pounds, Richard Figueroa, who's probably going to end up potentially being a four-time state champion. One of the rarest achievements in all the world of sports. Richard Figueroa did the one thing that I always weigh way above everything else in a young man's athletic career. Have you won a state championship? Richard is a sophomore, already has two of them. Goes to Richard Figueroa.
You know, it's amazing to me, when we interviewed him last year, he doesn't even look like a wrestler.
He looks like a model.
Like a model, him looks and like his sister.
Yeah, he and a young Tom Cruise could have been in the movies together.
Really, no question. We came in, I go, no, we're waiting for Richard Figueroa. We're waiting for a wrestler. That's me.
Well, the mother, the father, the family, the whole deal. But they're an attractive family.
Yeah.
Good-looking people.
You said that 100 times on the show.
Well, she was good-looking. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, let's look at some of the records. Trent Tompkins, most touchdown passes in a season, 72, broke the record. New record, all-time Central Section passing record in 10 games, 34-38, 3,400 yards, 38. That's what I was going to say. Regular season touchdowns, again, 47. He can go on and on. Let's go on the girl side. Who's your girl athlete of the year?
My girl, female, student athlete of the year. And there was many good ones to speak of, especially right there when you talked about Washington Union winning three championship rings during your senior year. Spectacular. However, nobody, and I mean no one, in the history of our Valley, female athlete, has ever put together the kind of run out of Fowler High School, Jocelyn Budwig, track and field, state champion, state champion, state champion, state champion, Valley champ, Valley champ, Valley champ. Jocelyn Budwig in the world of discus and shot put, ranked number 2 in the nation in the discus, number 3 in the nation in the shot put. Jocelyn Budwig out of Fowler High School from a long line. That family is one of the great athletic families in the history of our Valley. Jocelyn Budwig, who will be attending on a full scholarship, Auburn University. I don't know if that's good or not. Jocelyn Budwig, in me, is a shoe-in for this year's female student athlete of
great
the year.
Great pick. Do you put her up with the Jenna Prandini?
Absolutely.
Ooh, that's absolutely a big statement. My girl athlete of the year, I mentioned her 100 times already, Cindy Kuma. She helped win the state in girls volleyball for Washington Union. Helped win it. Girls soccer scored the winning goal, then threw a one-hitter in the softball championship. And by the way, she's going to be playing at Georgia, the Bulldogs.
That's right.
Might have heard of the Georgia Bulldogs.
If Jocelyn sees her over at Auburn during a contest, Jocelyn will put her in a headlock and let her know who's on top.
But you got to catch her first.
Jocelyn Budwig.
You got to catch her first.
Could happen.
Maddie, great job again, as usual. I want to thank JoJo back in the studio. Of course, Rod and Evadiki and the legendary Fashion Furniture. And look at this place. It's jamming today. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Be careful out there tonight. Happy America. We love you guys and love this country. So we will see you next week tomorrow at 10 Tavern at 4 o'clock. Have a great afternoon, everybody. You've been listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.